You are listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Wilgus. A few weeks ago, I recorded a kind of behind the scenes podcast with my wife, Sally. It was a bit of a risk, but just to kind of find out what is it like to be married to this sort of mad scientist that does this planned emancipation thing. But I got through that okay. And so I thought, well, let's take more risk. So I have in the studio with me today, actually all of my children, which is a bigger risk. Talk about going behind the scenes to see what is it like having this dad that did this. So I'm very excited, but also a little bit nervous. So I have my three children. My oldest is my son, Alex.
Hi.
And my middle daughter, Anna.
Hey.
And then my baby girl, Frances.
Hi.
And this is your future. If you're parents of teenagers, you go from when your children think you're a rock star and they run up to greet you. Then as the stage you're in now, of course, they forget your name and they don't care. And then you go to the stage where my wife and I are, which is our children are the rock stars and we just do whatever we can to be around them. So being all in the same place is a real thrill for me. Alex, where do you live and what are you doing?
I live in Chicago, Illinois, and I am a priest in the Anglican Church in North America.
And you're here for a coronavirus trip.
Yes, here for Corona Vacation 2020.
With your wife, Lauren, and your two boys, Owen and Brian, and they are 4 and 2, and Lauren works for an NGO there. And then, Anna, you live not too far from here with your husband, who is a minister at a church, and you have your three kids. You want to just tell us who they are and how old they are?
Yeah, Erica is 5 and a half. She actually has been a part of our family for 2.5 years now. We brought her home from Columbia about 2.5 years ago. And our son Hall is 3, and our baby Simeon is 1, and we have a 4th on the way. He'll be here in November. I'm a social worker. I work with international adoption, specifically from China.
And so we get to see you more often than these other two. Frances, tell us about what you're doing.
Sure. I study and work at Fordham University in New York City, and I study medieval history.
Tell us about your husband, how long you've been married now. And
yeah, my husband and I have been married for 1.5 years, 2 years in October.
Wow.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that long.
No, it doesn't feel like that long. It feels like forever and also not that long at the same
time.
Good point.
So, being, as you can imagine, from Chicago, from New York, and from Texas, being all in one place doesn't happen that often. So I'm pretty excited. So what I wanted to do, because I talked about this before, is there's nothing worse than some parenting expert who we never know about, well, did he do this stuff himself? So I wanted to take the risk of asking all three of you. It's pretty common that parents will ask, so, Dr. Wilgus, did you do this with your kids? And so I need you to check my work. Here's what I usually answer is yes, I did. When my kids turned 13, they no longer had to keep their room clean. It was their choice how they wanted to keep it. There was limits on putting food in there. You also had to do your own laundry. At 13, you could see any PG-13 movie that you thought was right to see. You could listen to any music that you thought was okay. You picked your own bedtime, but you had to wake yourself up. These are basically the things that I tell people. Is this what you guys remembered? Did we do that?
Oh, yeah. I remember family announcements. Okay, guys, everyone in the living room, here's the plan.
what's going on here?
That's, of course, your mother making those announcements, was it?
No.
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 No. No. Never.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember the room and laundry thing the most. I remember thinking, what's the catch? And it turned out the catch was just that this is kind of how it's going to be from now on till forever. The catch is that it's life. And yeah, so, but I know I remember that very well. And I don't remember cleaning my room very often at all.
Yeah, well, I think we all remember that.
I mean, I'm the youngest, but by far. But yeah, I definitely remember sort of the excitement of like, oh, thank God no one's going to heckle me about the way I keep my room anymore.
Yes.
And thinking like, okay, laundry, like that's something I can do fine. Like I can keep up with that.
Now, in the episode where I did talk to your mother, I did start with the question, did you pay one or more of my children? Did you bribe them to clean their room and not tell their father? So with you guys here, is there any truth to that myth? Tell me that didn't happen.
I have no recollection of that.
It happened to me. It was me.
No.
But it wasn't, okay, to be fair, it was not a monetary bribe. It was like, you would really please me as your mother.
I don't know if that's worse or better. I don't know what the...
Yeah, you took that?
It wasn't enough to make me do it, so...
Ah, it was an unsuccessful bribe. Ah, that makes me feel better.
Emotional okay. manipulation.
Yeah, because at that point, I kind of like took stock and I was like, it's not worth it.
Okay, now in all seriousness, you know, your mom was mostly on board with this. It was at points tough for her. Could you guys tell that there were things that she was trying to be cooperative, but it felt wrong to her? Did you notice that?
I kind of remember being in the car and you guys having one of those discussions that was kind of in the front seat that you were trying to just tune us out a little bit, but we could hear you anyway, kind of conversations. And I remember you kind of in a hushed tone being like, we talked about this. We're on the same page. You know? And, you know, I remember hearing comments like that and knowing that, you know, just picking up bits and pieces that parenting is hard, even when you have a philosophy. And I think both of you guys did a good job, you know, but it's hard to get on the same page. But I remember admiring that, you know, in later years, about your marriage, the fact that you didn't just kind of wing it, you know, you had a philosophy. You thought you were very thoughtful about your parents.
We were big talkers. Yes, we were.
I don't remember any dissension, really.
Yeah.
No, dissension is not the right word.
I recall, I think the day Mom did ask me to clean my room, it's the really only time I remember her having this look on her face like, I shouldn't be doing this, but I just want to try, I guess. So I think that was really, though, the only time that I think she let it show that it did actually get to her. And yeah.
So as you guys did get older, you got other freedoms, finishing with, I think you all knew the point that you didn't have a curfew as far as we were concerned, right? Do you remember that?
I was a loser, so I didn't go anywhere.
I don't think any of us had a problem with that.
I don't remember there needing to be a family announcement about my curfew because I didn't go anywhere.
Okay, but okay, now Anna, I did specifically remember, and I think this came up when I was talking to your mom, that there was one time after you had no curfew that you came in way later than we expected.
Yes, this was after I had graduated high school.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And we were like, hey, you're not in trouble. We're just surprised. And you were really, I think, kind of humiliated.
I think you worded
that,
it a little stronger than that.
Okay.
In my recollection. It was like the only time that I came back late. And I think just because it was out of character for me,
right.
You guys were quite freaked out because I also have never been good at looking at my phone. I had several voicemails from you. And I was thinking, oh, my parents are chill because I'm 18. I've already graduated high school, so I can do whatever I want.
Which was officially true.
Which was kind of true. It was true. But I didn't realize until that point that I had the ability to kind of rattle you. That was
yeah
news to me.
I don't remember my absence ever rattling you.
No, we sometimes forgot that we had a son, but no, yeah, we worry deep in our heart. So, but Franny, I remember, is this right? I remember giving you no curfew actually sometime before you graduated high school, which I don't even normally recommend, but I just, you know, you were never a problem. And my memory was, and I think it was like 2 weeks before you graduated. It wasn't long is my memory of it. But I remember you being kind of struck by that, like, oh, great. Do you remember that have impact on you? Be honest.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I had a boyfriend at the time, so I think that made it a little more exciting. But I do remember the feeling less about, oh, good, I can now stay out as late as I want, and more like, oh, good, I don't have this obligation looming over me, and yeah. My parents trust me enough to make adult decisions. And I think it was more just the feeling of like, oh, now I'm an adult, more than the feeling of like, oh, good, now I can stay out late and do whatever I want.
So as these sort of guinea pigs of planned emancipation, do you remember feeling or anything that you noticed was different about you from friends of yours, like the freedoms that you had or things like that, or any impact you think that having that freedom had on your comparative, you know, with other peers?
I remember feeling like the emancipation gave me an opportunity to prove to you that I was responsible. I couldn't wait for you to be proud of the choices that I made.
Yeah, that never occurred to me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's... Well, that's partly because I came after you. But I just I so wanted to not blow it, that having a very deliberate opportunity to prove to you guys that I could be responsible and I could be an adult was really important to me. Mm. I know a lot of kids are not like that, but I just really did not want to screw up. And it's hard to not screw up when your parents are calling all the shots for you, but having the opportunity to do that myself.
Like gives you a chance to win rather than, yeah.
I don't know. The funny thing is that it all felt very normal to me because I didn't really know anything different. It was just kind of, I didn't get the sense that this was like a thing that you were about or that was being very intentionally done.
Like a technique.
Yeah. It just felt normal. Or maybe it's because I didn't think very hard about it. It was just kind of, oh, cool. All right. I guess this is what happens when you turn 13. You know, it wasn't like a dramatic moment.
I mean, it was kind of in development at the time. And, you know, I didn't call it anything. So, yeah, that's probably true. So, was I a speech maker, or is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah.
there were good speeches though, that was interesting and helpful.
I managed to cut you off of a number of speeches because I was the youngest. When I got my first boyfriend, you were gearing up to give me a big speech about my first boyfriend. And I said, I've heard it twice.
Wow. Yeah, I think I remember that. Those are good speeches, though, that you missed out on. Yeah, yeah.
I think I was kind of taking it all in and being like, one day I will make these speeches.
Yeah. And- You know, I remember the face you made, Alex, when you would do that. It was this amazing stone expression that just said, you'd look right at me while I was carrying on by, you know, chapter two and going to my next slide, you know, my PowerPoint, that your face just said, you know that I'm not listening to you, but there's nothing you can do about this. And I finished my speech anyway because it was a very good speech. But yeah, I remember that.
I don't actually remember the content of any of your speeches. I just remember that there were speeches.
Are you saying you don't remember the content of my speeches?
I remember very clearly what I was not supposed to do. And like? Wherever those boundaries were is where I paid attention. Oh, like I was not supposed to have things be so bad in my room that, like, you know, company would notice. I was not to be late to school, even though I could go to bed and wake up whenever I wanted to.
What happened if you were late to school? I'm thinking your senior year, where you're driving your sisters to school. Do you remember?
Oh, no, I don't remember what the consequence was.
I believe there were two. The by your senior year, if you made it to school or not was your problem. But you had, tell girls, am I remembering this right? He was supposed to drive you to school. And if he was late driving you and we had to take you, there was a taxi fee. I think it cost you $3 if we had to take them to school or something like that.
And listen, $3 and $2,004 were, that was pretty steep.
It's like $10,000 now. I do remember you rushing around and me standing in the kitchen saying, I smell $3, and you going, no, you don't.
Yeah, I remember that too, yeah. I remember getting in the truck and just like gunning it.
Yeah, that might not have been the best thing either. It was like, look at him go. He can speed more than any high schooler I know with my daughters in the truck with him. Isn't that great? Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like by the time, because I'm so much younger, I just felt like, I mean, there were these rules, but there weren't as many consequences because I didn't have anybody to take to school. It was just me. And if I got to school late, like, it was my
You're right. That was my cross to bear.
So this may be hard for you to know since this is all that you knew, but one of the things that I always hope for is that by giving over freedoms as much as you can, it makes it easier to communicate with your parents, that you don't end up in a constant control battle over everything. And since this is all you've known, I don't know if you have an opinion about that, but do you think it helped to keep communication with your mom and I, that we weren't making battles out of smaller things, and you knew there were things that we didn't let you do? It was up to you to make your own decision about that. Do you think that eased some of the tension or ability to communicate?
Oh, for sure. And I don't think I really recognize that until I was older so much, but I have a distinct memory of a couple years ago when I quit my first job out of college, and I'd had it for a long time, and I remember calling you and asking your advice because I was sort of quitting this job without a backup plan, and I really wanted to know if you thought that this was a good idea. And you just said, like, I know that you're going to make a good choice, and my advice is not going to, like, you're an adult and you can make your own decisions. And I think that really meant a lot to me, and sort of that's the message that you've been giving us our whole lives, especially when we became teenagers, like, you can start making your own decisions. And I felt a lot more open to talk to you and mom about my issues because I didn't feel like y'all were going to tell me what I should do. You might give me advice, but I knew that ultimately y'all trusted and respected the decisions that I was going to make.
I definitely don't remember any control battles, really. I remember disagreements that we had, that we argued about, but I don't remember feeling like I had to kind of manipulate anybody to get what I wanted. It was just kind of like, I knew that there was a trade-off for everything. There was a deal for everything. There was a trade-off for everything. And you guys, I remember, were even kind of open to the fact that it was like, well, you know, if you get home late, this is what happens. It's not so much like we're mad at you. It's just for disobeying. It's just, this is what happens. So if it's worth it to you, then go ahead. But
you're your best shot.
You're not going to go anywhere for like another week after that or whatever it was. And I remember feeling a little bit empowered to being like, yeah, okay, is that worth it to me? You know, I don't remember if there were times when it might've been, and I might've like done it. But yeah, there was no control battle. There was no like, I'm really disappointed at you for this, because we knew the score, and it was like, yeah, I don't know. I knew why you didn't want me to do things. But that wasn't what I was thinking about most of the time. I was thinking about, this is what happens if I do this, and this is what happens if I don't do that.
Yeah.
And if I want to avoid those things, or I want to avoid those things that I don't want to have happen to me.
All right. So last question, and I appreciate you guys so much. So do you think you'll practice planned emancipation with your own children? And if so, would you make any changes to the way that we did it?
Well, you know, once I read the book... I did not remember experiencing this as a thing or as a method. So reading about it made me kind of go back and reassess. I'm like, oh yeah, that was actually fairly unusual based on how most teenagers are raised.
Right.
And yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm planning on doing it. I think that especially today, like in today's economy and whatnot, it's even more crucial that people grow up and learn to be self-sufficient. I think that's kind of, there's been a bit more of a trend back in that direction in my generation of kind of being like parenting kids in a way that is very, making them very self-sufficient and working on their own problems and not intervening and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm definitely, we will definitely plan on withdrawing from the sovereign state of our teenager.
Well done. Good. Well said.
Yes. when the time comes, but man, the kid's four, so yeah. we just don't really want to think about that right now.
Yeah, my oldest is almost six, and her personality and mine could not be more different. And we have so many control battles that I can already foresee, you know, parenting her is going to be, in particular, I'm sure my boys as well, but parenting her in particular is going to be a very different experience from the way that you guys parented me. And I know already that having, you know, giving her some freedoms and giving her some responsibility, even now as a 5.5-year-old, really just puts wind in her sails.
True.
That I can already tell, you know, letting her keep her own room the way that it is going to be the least of my worries when she's 13 years
You'll
old.
Be picking your battles.
Exactly. And I think, you know, already having a tool in my tool belt for when she becomes a teenager that is going to empower her makes me not so scared about parenting a teenager. It feels a little like, yeah, I feel like I've got a plan and I know kind of what I'm going to do. And I know she and I both are going to totally mess up often, but you know, not feeling like I'm just gonna wing it and just figure it out gives me a lot of peace. And my husband too is completely on board with, you know, all of the planned emancipation techniques, and so I think we kind of feel like there's really no other way that we would go about parenting.
Franny, too early to tell?
Well, yeah. I mean, I have the least amount of wisdom on this because I don't have any kids, obviously. But my husband and I have talked a little bit about it, you know, so just thinking about having kids in the future. And he's the son of a counselor as well. So he's not totally a stranger to having, you know, a counselor as a parent.
Good point.
We have talked a little bit about it, and he is also totally on board. And I think in my experience, what was so great about it was knowing that there's a set system in place, and it's a logical system, and it's not sort of an arbitrary set of rules of whatever my parents' whims are at the particular moment. And so I think just having that sort of structure of like, we have a plan to get our future child, whatever he or she is like, out the door at a certain stage, I think is a great plan and something that we definitely hope to practice. But I don't know what our kids are going to be like, so.
Kind of putting us on the spot, asking if we're going to do your thing.
I know, really. What are you going to say? Well, listen, I can't tell you how grateful I am to all three of you. It is genuinely, you know this, it's such a thrill for me to have you in my house, all of you together. I just follow you around like your little fan club. So I can't thank you enough for doing this and being willing to be honest. I appreciate it.
Yay, Dad. Yay. Good job, Dad. Yay. Good job.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.